Yeah, last week I don't think I was as effective as I would have liked in getting across the message as far as the fear of the Lord, but it's something He's beginning to stir inside of me. And so therefore I wanted to try to communicate it, but at the same time God was also doing another message in me because He was placing me into an incubator and a pressure cooker of sorts within my own emotions and my own belief system. And then as a result, pieces of one and the other both kept coming out at different times. And I didn't get across what I wanted to get across. But what Kim saw, that was the essence of what I wanted us to see and to know. The essence of why we want to invite the fear of the Lord into our lives is to know more of Him. Because the greater the revelation that we have of who He is, the more that we're going to be able to do. The greater our revelation of what He has already accomplished, the greater the testimony that we can give. So in all this, there's a shifting going on within me. And there's some new conclusions that are happening within me. And I'm going to just describe it, and maybe God's touching and working in your heart in the same way. Maybe He'll use this to work in your heart in the same way. You know, as I've told you before, most of the time I'm really praying and seeking, God, what is it that You want for the people for this service? But today is a little different because I know this is really a lot about me. But I'm hoping that he's going to use this in a way that's about you. Because see, one of the things that somehow creeped into my belief system was that it's a godly thing to be poor. And now I would never have stated it that way. I never would have thought it that way. But nonetheless, it was evidenced in my belief system. And the reality is that many of us think the same way when we don't even understand or we don't think about it. We don't recognize it. But that paradigm within us causes us to live less than what we should. It causes us to live less than the potential that God has put within us. If we look in the perspective of history and in the perspective of the global thing, we live in the richest country in the world. Our lives are far richer than anybody even 100 or even 50 years ago could have ever imagined. Just for those who don't live well by today's standards in America. But by the standards of the world, you have hot water, you have cold water. They both run at a tap. You have air conditioning. You have a roof over your head. You have clothes to wear. You know how many people in the world don't have those things? But yet somehow we still have a poverty mentality that's going on with inside. How do you know? One of the keys within me is that within something like Proverbs 10 and 22, the blessing of the Lord maketh me rich and adds no sorrow with it. There's a little flinch. See, something in your spirit wants to kind of shrink back just a moment because you don't want somebody to think that, oh my God, you might be trying to be greedy. That's one of the ways. If there's something inside you that gets jealous or envious or feels slighted or an injustice when somebody that you know, a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, gets a promotion or gets a big blessing in their life, See, we do that because we have a basic belief system that there's not enough. Because, see, if there's more than enough, it doesn't matter how much somebody else has or doesn't have. If we have more than enough, if we're recognizing that there's more than enough, we're not interested or worried about what somebody else gets. I heard this example, I'll use it. If you're leaving Golden Corral and you've just stuffed yourself to the max, you're not envious of the person who has that juicy looking potato on the way out because you've already had enough. We tend to overlook these things. And there tends to be a poverty mentality that drives that. Now, I'm not here and I'm not advocating greed or selfishness or keeping score or all the things that people consider the American way. I'm talking about kingdom here. Kingdom purposes. There used to be a bumper sticker. I don't know if there's any they're around anymore, but it used to say, "He who dies with the most toys wins." Well, the reality is, he who dies with the most toys still dies. We still have a kingdom to pursue. We have a God to be responsible to for what we've done with our stewardship. So what I'm looking for here, what's happening within me is a changing of some of the thought processes. Because this is really about embracing faith in its wholeness. Embracing the wholeness of faith. Because as we begin to embrace the wholeness of faith, then God can begin to work in us in many different ways. Just as they began to go forth and stand there and this week after week minister in the home, as they began to minister in faith, standing and believing that God was going to change a circumstance, so God wants to change every circumstance in our life. He wants to change every circumstance, whether it's our financial, our emotional, our physical healing. But he wants to bring about a change in what we do, what we say, and how we pursue it. Because see, we're not to pursue money. We're just pursue God. And in the pursuit of God, we're to expect Him to add His abundance. We're to expect Him to add His blessing. We're to expect Him to bring more. Because as we do that, then there's a shift. There's a shift of the priorities. And then there's a possibility of something greater happening in the kingdom. But see, I've been in this church for, 11 years? And there's a lot of things that have been preached and a lot of things that I've stood in agreement with, but I've always just stayed just outside the edge of fully embracing what God was trying to do in my life. Why? Because of that poverty mentality? Because of a religious stronghold? A religious stronghold that, though I would never have put words to it, said basically it's holier to be poor. Because you can look at somebody who has money and you can point the finger at them and say, they're not using that for the kingdom. And feel righteous about it. God wants us to get over those things. Whether or not they use it for the kingdom or not is their responsibility before God. They have to answer to that. Whether or not you pursue God in such a way that it brings glory to Him, that you have to answer for. We're to look at this as an exercise of faith in it, the same as any other. Let's take a look at one of the scriptures here, 1 Timothy 6. We'll go to verse 9 because I want to address this. And I want to keep it in perspective of what all he's saying here. For those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. What he means by want, or in King James it says those who will. But it's those who make it their desire and their pursuit. Those who, that's their heart's desire is the finance. Their heart's desire is to be rich and to take all those things that can give you that power, the authority. If that's your desire, that's the wrong desire. This is about a heart issue that he's addressing. It's a heart issue that he's addressing here. He's trying to speak something into the lives of those who are there. But he said, when your heart is set on those things, because that word actually means when you begin to desire that, when you set your heart on that, that's what causes the problem. See, but he goes on to answer that a little bit further down, but we'll get that in just a moment. But basically what he says is to set your heart, fight the good fight of faith in verse 12. Take hold of eternal life, which you were called, and make the good confession in presence. I charge you, okay. But okay, oh, verse 11, I'm sorry. Flee these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. See, that's where we should be setting our desires, on the righteousness of God. Verse 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. There's probably not ever been a truer statement uttered. But it's not the money that's the issue. It's the love of money. And it's that which you can have that whether you have finances or you don't have finances. Having dollar greenbacks in your wallet does not constitute a love of money. Having an abundance does not constitute a love of money. That is, again, he's still referring to the desire, that unrighteous desire. And I've seen poor people that had that unrighteous desire because all their life was about attaining finances. All their life was about attaining something that was unholy and ungodly. But he's not outlawing the finances. There are some basic, normal things that happen in the kingdom of God. And then that means, you know, every normal thing that has to happen. In order for somebody to reach out, somebody has to send. For there to be true missionaries and evangelists, somebody has to send. Everything in this world takes some sort of finances. There's some sort of currency that it gets exchanged. So who's going to stand up? Who's going to stand in faith and believe? Who's going to stand in faith and believe? Amen. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And again, we do note there, it's the love. It's not the finance itself. And we see further evidence of it because we see he tells us to pursue. He tells us to pursue. Pursue righteousness. Pursue godliness. Pursue faith. But see, our fear of this verse, our fear of being associated with the love of money, has caused us to actually go into denial rather than embrace what God's really purposed in our life. See, what we've done is we've moved into what's called asceticism, which basically means that I'll give you a definition of it. Strict self-denial is a measure of personal and especially spiritual discipline. Austere in appearance, manner, or attitude. Rather than deal with the reality of what's inside us, we've shied away and said, okay, it's just bad to have money. Rather than deal with the old man that we all had inside of us. See, God's not trying to separate us from the finances. He's trying to separate us from that love and that lust that it invokes. And we're not going to do it by denying ourselves. You know, something that God told me almost 10 years ago, actually 10 days before 9/11. He told me, you deny yourself many things that I did not ask you to. You know, it's taken me all this time to begin to figure out what he's trying to say there. Because I deny myself. I would do things, I would just shut off and whole areas of my life because I didn't want to pursue, to be seen pursuing that. But see, God's not talking about changing a discipline. He's talking about changing a reality within us. And we can't change that reality within us if we just stay in denial and if we push ourselves away. If you're an alcoholic and you walk away and you just set the bottle down and you walk away, that doesn't change what's going on inside. You only change what's going on inside by beginning to see God and see who He is and magnify who He is until that root that was within you that was being fed by the alcohol gets changed and transformed. And in the same way, He's wanting to jerk that root up out of us. He wants to jerk that root of the love of money out of us. He wants to come into a place where we can stand there and we're not affected by the things that we can receive and do for the kingdom, because then we can truly become stewards of the King. We can truly begin to have a stewardship and an ownership of the things that He has designed for us to do. Because there's a difference when you're stewarding for the King. Because you realize that it's not yours. You realize that you can have this place within you and that whatever you have, He can have when He has need of it. Just as the man did with the donkey, with the colt. The master has need and they loosed it and took off with it. Well, you realize what that is? That's just like saying, well, the Lord has need of your Mercedes and just handing over the key. Because it was this man's transportation. It was his partner at work. It was a lot of things this colt was to him. It was his way to make a living. And yet he just loosed it and let it go. So see, self-denial isn't the answer. Transformation is our answer. A lot of times we've used that then to also to become like a crutch. Because we can go into the denial and we just escape and we use it as a justification for not succeeding and not becoming who God has called us to be. Because see, God has put a plan and a purpose in every one of us. Sometimes when we begin to accept that plan, see, I've been speaking into those things for a long time. But sometimes He has to change our situation to manifest what it is that He's called us to be and called us to do. See, I have my own company. But see, God couldn't do what He needed to do through that company. Because I had two people who were in this thing with me who don't believe the same as I do. One's a Christian, but he's not somebody who believes in the walk of faith. The other wasn't even a Christian. So God couldn't use this company to do the things that He wanted to manifest through me. So, when all that went away, I just decided that I kind of just let the whole dream die. I didn't consciously decide to do that, but I did by my actions. I let all those possibilities that God was stirring in me die when that went away. I embraced a new part of my call because I had known that I was called to be a pastor and a priest. I embraced a new part of my call in a way that I'd never been able to embrace yet in my life. But God is calling us to more than just that. He's calling me to do more than just that. See, my desire and always has been is to be able to serve the people free of charge. To earn enough outside of what we do here that everything that I do here is just because it wants to come out of the abundance of what's in me. That everything is paid for, not by offerings, not by tithes, but by the abundance of what God is, the income streams God has provided. But you know what? That can't happen if I don't set up a net for it to happen too. If you never go, never push your boat out and you never let down the net, there's never a harvest to come forth. If you never get out and begin to plant the seed, there's never a harvest to come forth. So what we have to do then is begin to look at what is our net? What is our net? And what is our purpose? Because just like we've spoken over the last several weeks many times, love has to be our compass in all things. Because love, that compass of love, is the only compass that will truly give us direction. And as so, and out of that love, then we can begin to expect God to do something new and different. See, it's so easy to revert to the sweat of the brow. I'm very good at reverting to the sweat of the brow to solve a problem. I learned very early in life how to do things mechanical. I learned very early in life how to figure out how something works. How to do those things that are necessary to sustain life. How to be self-contained in that regard. But the problem is, God isn't looking for our self-sufficiency. He's looking for us to be dependent upon Him, to do something that's beyond our ability to do. If we can begin to imagine and see that in our thought processes and begin to embrace that, He can begin to move us into that. And that's what He's trying to do with me today, is begin to move me out of the things that I can know I can do in my own strength and understanding, and into something that requires faith. Because see, faith is called to be a daily walk. It's called to be something that we do every moment of every day. And the reality is, most of the time, in America, we can live totally without faith. Now, we actually have some faith that we don't even realize, because we're having some faith that society is going to continue to rock along like it always has. Guess what, folks? That's not a good faith. But we have to embrace the fullness of faith. And that includes in the stewardship that He's pointing us to be in charge of. And that means that we have to change some things that we do. We have to begin to trust Him for creative ideas. We have to begin to trust Him for new things and new mechanisms. And maybe just a new idea at work, so that when we're there, we can begin to apply something and begin to make a change to our environment. Give the Lord an opportunity to do something different. Like I said before, when Net One there, He couldn't do what He needed to do through Net One. He couldn't do what He needed to do through that company because of other circumstances that surrounded the company. But see, what He has spoken to me, He's spoken to me about a book to begin to write. What He has spoken, He's spoken to Kim, a creative idea for us to implement. You know, those two things alone, if God breathes on that, if we can come into agreement with Him and let Him breathe on that, that can be the whole difference right there. That can be the whole difference right there. See, whatever it is in your life, You say, well, I'm just a mechanic. What can I do? Well, let me tell you about a gentleman I used to know. I guess I still know him because he's still alive. So I know that he used to go out in the countryside and he would be looking for a particular kind of car. And he would just go out and just at random go up to somebody's house and say, hey, do you know where that old Model T is sitting out? It was sitting over in somebody's barn and I remember seeing it, but I can't find it. Now, he had never met this person. He'd never seen it. He didn't have any idea about any of those things, but he knew they did. Why? And then he would go and he would retrieve it and restore it and sell it for mega bucks. Because he understood the potential that was in that thing that was just sitting there in somebody's barn. Let me give you an idea of the potential. If you found a 70 model Barracuda with a 426 Hemi in it, they sell for about $250,000 in good condition. So if you found one sitting somewhere in somebody's barn and no one else around there knew the potential and you buy the thing for $1,000, you have a $249,000 profit waiting for you. True story, a friend of mine actually sold a 67 Mustang Shelby GT350KR. Sold it for I think it was $2,000. Had 12,000 miles on it and a cracked head. I found out about it 4 days too late. The guy who bought it fixed the head, restored it immaculately, took it in, on the show circuit, began to show it, and then after he got tired of it, he sold it for $87,000. I was 4 days too late. That's just what you can do if you're a simple mechanic, using what you already know. Think of the blessing of the kingdom that could have represented. It doesn't matter what your talent or where you're positioned at. God has something for you to do. He has something for you to believe Him for, to reach out beyond who you are today and into your future. See, that's the whole point is He wants us to reach into our future and grab hold of it today. This message that's coming forth right now is something that we need to embrace because this message can begin to define and change not just ourselves, but the entire region and into the nations. When we will embrace who He's called us to truly be, we're going to rise up and become something far greater than we've ever known. See, we've been limited by our own strongholds. We've been limited by our own religious thinking. I know I have. You can make your confession if you want to or not. That's up to y'all. But I know I have. And I'm saying that stops here. That stops now. I'm going to embrace Him for who He is. I'm going to embrace all the possibility and all the potential that He's put into me in every area of my life. And I don't care what anybody thinks. Because I used to worry about whether or not somebody was going to think I was just greedy or selfish by wanting to pursue the finances. Well, you know what? It ain't about me. It ain't about doing those things just to consume it on my own ends. It's about the kingdom. It's about representing potential. It's about beginning to respond to the potential that God has placed within me. It's about recognizing those things. Not being held back any longer by a wrong belief. Not being held back any longer by fear. Not being held back by the problems that could occur if I did this and step forward. Are you familiar with the story of the elephant? When an elephant is little, They tie it to a stake very, very, very securely. They drive the stake deep into the ground. And for days and days and weeks and months, that elephant will pull against that chain and pull against that chain and pull against that chain until finally one day he gives up. And once he gives up, he never pulls against that chain any longer. So when he's all grown up, this big, huge elephant, they just hook the little bridle to him. They take the post and they just drop it in a hole without even tamping it down, and he never goes anywhere. All that power, all that strength is harnessed by a deception. Because he thinks it's still the same pole that he couldn't pull against. I'm here to tell you that in the same way, we've been harnessed by a deception. The enemy has taken the circumstances around us and trained us to believe we can't pull against it. That's not true any longer. That chain is being broken. The shackles are being broken right now. It's not true any longer. We can go out beyond the thing, beyond the peripheral of where that chain would let us go. We can begin to harness that power that is already within us and begin to walk forth and begin to declare the promises of God. And not only declare it, but to exhibit them and to manifest them, not only to ourselves, but to the nations. Because of the potential that's within us, we can manifest that strength unto those who are in need. We can begin to send so that Enrique has more than enough down there. So that Peter over in Africa has more than enough. So that Samson in India has more than enough. Because they'll have to call up and say, Houston, stop sending us money. We don't need any more. Because somebody got a hold of the vision. Because somebody got a hold of faith and began to stand in faith and let God be God. There's no reason for there to be poor underneath a bridge in Houston, Texas. Now, sometimes we have to do things. We come alongside not to hand money out, but to lift them up. Because I'll tell you the truth, if you just went to Cali, Colombia, and you handed them all the money in the world, all of it would disappear. Because you have to begin to teach them and train them how to have faith on their own. You have to teach them and train them that they have value in themselves. You have to teach them and train them how to begin to apprehend faith for themselves. But somebody has to do that with finances. It takes finances for Enrique to stay there. It takes finances for these people to be able to have a place to go. It takes us grabbing a hold of the vision that God has given for our lives. Not standing in fear, not standing in deception any longer, not being clipped to some pole that doesn't even exist, but being ready to be harnessed by God. Be ready to be harnessed for His kingdom, to be moved into His kingdom. To step forth. If you would go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Because I want to set your compass. Our compass is love. But this is a little bit of where it goes. This is what begins to happen. As we allow God to minister in us and through us. As we allow faith to rise up and be stirred with us. Verse 10, now he supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. That should be our goal, increasing the harvest of our righteousness. Because it's not our righteousness in the first place, it all belongs to God. He's saying right there that he's going to give you what you need and he's going to give you an abundance to sow. Verse 11, you'll be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Verse 12, for the ministry of this service is not only for fully supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. Because of what God has been allowed to do in you, this too can be your confession when you come before Christ. When you come before Him and you say, you can say, God, I stood there and with all that was in me, I stewarded that which you gave me faithfully. I stewarded that which you gave me. And I wasn't afraid to reach out, Lord. I wasn't afraid to reach out and become who you asked me to become. And I wasn't afraid, Father, to deal with the issues inside of me, Father, that would have channeled that money somewhere else. But Lord, I faithfully conducted that which you gave me. And Lord, these are the souls. These are the souls that stand in your stead. These are the souls that stand before you as a result. It's about love. We don't do things for selfishness. I'm talking to a mature group of people here. You guys don't come here to just hear some feel-good message. I'm talking to people who want to be in the forefront of what God is doing, who want to step into the fullness of God's love and begin to magnify and glorify Him. And that's what we're being offered, is the opportunity to magnify and glorify Him. If we will embrace this message, if we'll embrace that opportunity to use our faith for healing, to use our faith for salvation, but also to use our faith to gather the finances and steward that which God has put into our hands. See, it's real easy for us to point to somebody who's making a whole lot of money and just blowing it everywhere on fancy cars and houses and boats and all that stuff, and say he's not doing anything for the kingdom. But the reality is, if we stand in a place where we don't live up to our potential, and we're living this paycheck to paycheck, we're not doing anything different. If we just go paycheck to paycheck, and we're not standing and believing and striving towards that which God has said we can have, that which we can do, then we're just spending it all on ourselves too. We're just doing it at a different level. God has put more potential in each one of us than that. God has put more potential in each one of us. And we have to be able to take a little criticism and take a little flack and begin to reach out and grab a hold of what He's promised us. Because Enrique's counting on you. Because Peter's counting on you. Because Samson's counting on you. And all those widows and orphans and children that they're representing, they're counting on you. Your neighbor may be counting on you. When you begin to manifest the kingdom of God, truly manifest the kingdom of God, that's going to speak more to your neighbor than anything else you can say. How did all this goodness happen around you? My God, did I serve? Psalm 67, verse 6. My God, did I serve, has done this goodness. Psalm 67, verse 6 says, the earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear Him. You are the one that He wants to bless. And by blessing you, even as He blessed Israel, He can begin to set a standard that the world will look at and marvel. That the world will look at and go, my God, who is this that you serve? And you'll go, my God, I serve. Hallelujah. God bless y'all.